realfaith.org.au.
Unknown to me, there was another car coming up from the top of Latrobe Street that had gone onto the wrong side of the road. The car hit me, and I can recall that as my head hit the road, just this tremor went from the top of my head right through my body. But then instantly, I felt I wasn't in Latrobe Street any longer.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
When Miranda Burness was in her late 20s, everything seemed to be going her way. She had a successful business and was on her way to becoming an international netball umpire. But that all changed when tragedy struck and turned her life upside down. We're going to hear her story today as she joins us on the phone from her home in Ballarat, Victoria. Miranda Burness, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Eric. Nice to be with you.
Glad to have you with us. And so everything seemed to be going very well at that point in your life. Is that right?
Yes, I thought that everything was perfect. I was very happily married with three young children, just built a lovely home, had a very successful business. In those days, we had title searching businesses and settlement law clerks, and I had about 26 law firms as clients at a small bank. And I also loved, and from a very young age, and was very involved in playing netball initially.
Yeah.
And then later on, working towards becoming an international umpire. I really wanted to not only umpire state teams, but also umpire the Australian team. And so I spent many, many evenings at Royal Park in Melbourne in those days, as well as running a family and a business.
Well, we're going to get back to that point in your life. But first, let's find out a little bit about your background. Where were you born and raised?
I was actually born initially, and I was 4 years old when I came to Australia. I'm the eldest of nine children.
So from a strong Italian family?
No, my parents are very modern Italians, so very strong. Mum was only 16 when she got married, and so she was 17 when I was born. And most of the children were all born here, except for myself, my brother, and my young sister.
So, as an Italian family, you were raised in the Catholic Church?
Yes, I was. We attended each week, and also Catholic schools right through.
And at one point, your parents even wanted you to become a nun, is that right?
Yes, particularly my mother. I would attend retreats, and even our principal, our senior, the nun at school, took us through the convent and everything else, believing that that's where I would hopefully one day, see my life.
Of course, that was not the path you chose. You eventually got married?
Yes, I met my husband. He travelled around Australia because his father was in the Air Force. And when my husband Martin was in Melbourne, when they were stationed in Melbourne, I met Martin at a dinner dance. And from the night that we met, within a few weeks, he proposed, actually. We were we were engaged within 5 months and then married within 11 months.
And then eventually you had children. And take us to the events that we began talking about.
Okay. I've always had a business background, and I really love the legal profession. And at that time, I initially worked for different lawyers, but then down the track, I ended up having my own searching business. And in those days, before electronic titles and the way it is today, we would do all the searches for different law firms and insurance companies, and the banks would have their own clerks. And so we would all be at the titles office in Melbourne, and we would search all the titles for the law firms, as well as attend settlements on behalf of many of the lawyers. So I was flat out doing that and loved it, actually, really loved it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I loved netball. I played as a schoolgirl. I was under, our coach was the Australian captain, Wilma Ritchie.
Oh, wow.
And later on, when I was in my early teens, Welma got me to join a club at Royal Park, and I was under the under-18 coach, Margaret Cross. So I played netball at a fairly high standard. But then down the track, I wasn't really able to, because my background, my father really wasn't keen on me playing at night. I wasn't able to go at night to the stadium. So I, most of my
playing, why was that?
At that time, my dad was a little bit old-fashioned and didn't want me going out at night. So So I concentrated on playing on the weekends. Netball has now changed a lot. But I learned, I also umpired, and I played as a young married woman as well. And at the age of 25, I started a netball club, which to the best of my knowledge is still going today.
Oh, wow.
And from two teams, two young primary school teams, we grew very quickly to 16 teams. And so my time was spent coaching, and we were involved in both junior and senior netball, the club, very successful club. And I really got very involved with the umpiring side of it and worked my way up to a B umpire. But then there's a big jump between, there's a C, B, and then there's a big jump to an A-grade umpire. And a B umpires, B-graded umpires in those days, of course, umpired a lot of the big games. But you really needed to go up to A or double A to umpire a state team or an Australian or international game. So I spent many nights and many days umpiring every game I could. And at that time then, I thought everything was perfect.
Now, how many children did you have at this point?
I have three children. At this time, there was an eight-year-old girl, a boy who was just on six, and a little girl who was four.
Wow, very busy time in your life.
Yes, it was. But it was an exciting time too. It was. We also did, in those days, attend church because my husband was also a Catholic. And really loved our life. We had a full life. And this particular week, for a few years now, I had been working towards my A-grade badge. And so there was a particular night. I had to umpire some of the top players in the state, and an international umpire gave me a critique or an assessment.
Oh, wow.
And this was at the stadium at Royal Park. When I finished my the critique, the umpire, the international umpire, was very pleased and said that by next week, within a week, I would have my A badge. So I went home elated. I was wrapped. The next day, I went to work, but the next evening, which was a Wednesday night, I was going to a netball meeting. My husband that night stopped me and grabbed me by the arm. He said, look, you're going to too many meetings and you're out all the time. Are the children important and myself? Who's more important? Is it the sport or is it us as a family? Now, I did say to him, look, it's only one more week. We're just so close. It's just one more week. And I did go out that night. As soon as I got out the front door, I really felt I had done the wrong thing. But I still went to the meeting that night. Now, the next morning, on the Thursday morning, I had parked my car, as usual, in Latrobe Street. But normally what happens in that kind of work, it is so intense and so busy that nobody really leaves their spot at the titles office. But after I parked my car on the Thursday, I felt I couldn't go to work straight away. So I went to a church in Melbourne and I sat in the back seat and I actually repented. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Of course, my husband and the children are the most important, and I'm just sorry about all of that. And that's where I was that particular day. And I just asked the Lord to help me in my life. And so that was the Thursday. The very next day was the Friday. And Friday, with law firms and settlements for properties, It's so hectic. My briefcase was packed with settlements for the day, not to mention all the searches.
And what year was this?
This was, I think it was 1981. I was around 1981, I'd have to check, but it was that time. And I parked the car as usual. As I started to walk out Latrobe Street, I started to walk down towards Queen Street, and the lights had changed, and there was three lanes of traffic, parked cars, and then two lanes of traffic and the tram line. So I just felt, by the time I get down there, they're going to change again, so I decided to cross there because all the cars were stationary, basically. As I crossed between the cars that were already facing a stop sign, unknown to me, there was another car coming up from the top of Latrobe Street that had gone onto the wrong side of the road.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like a flash. It was honestly like a flash. I just, as I turned, I saw this, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And the thing that did happen, and which amazed me, was I just felt like I was immediately picked up, or I was immediately comforted. I was all, just the whole lot, my whole body, it just instantly. Now, what happened then was the car hit me. I felt the back of my neck go. I felt my head, my side, my legs initially, because the car hit me on my right side. I actually felt all my right knee, the whole lot there. But as I was flung, I felt all the time I was being like cushioned. I can't explain it. But I was hit into another vehicle that now was coming the other way, and I ended up underneath the second car. And I can recall that as my head hit the road, just this tremor went from the top of my head right through my body. And now at this time, that's all I felt. But then instantly, I felt I wasn't in Latrobe Street any longer.
Our guest today is Miranda Burness from Ballarat, and as we just heard, she was in a life-changing accident. Next, we're going to hear about an out-of-body experience she had that included a vision of the Lord that had a lasting impact on her life. All that and more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. And you can listen to past programs about the impact faith has had on others. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and today our guest is Miranda Burness from Ballarat. She's sharing her story, and as we heard before the break, she was hit by a car, and just as she struck the pavement, she began to have an out-of-body experience. Now we're going to find out what happened next on that day.
I just felt I was somewhere else. I was fully aware that I was somewhere else. I also felt like every time a thought came to my mind, or like trying to work out where I was, it was like I was being hit by a supernatural love or comfort. I also was aware that there was other people there. There were others where I was. And when I think of, even though it was many years ago, I still, it's, for me, it was like yesterday. I also felt I was out of time. It's like time didn't exist.
Oh, this is all outside of time.
I can't explain it, but I knew who I was. I knew that I was married to my husband, Martin. I knew my children. I also knew that. And as I started to move forward in it was, as people have sometimes explained, as like a light. But the one thing I did know was that the day before I had been praying, and the day before I had asked the Lord to forgive me and to help me. And so I honestly felt that I was in God's presence. And as I started to move forward, I still keep being hit by this sense of a supernatural love. But then I felt, I said, it's okay. I said, it's okay. It feels good to be dead. And I said, I'm not afraid anymore. But as I said those words, I suddenly saw who to me was the Lord. But I saw my four-year-old daughter in front of him. And I actually saw his hands on her shoulders. And as I saw my daughter appear in front of him, I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I cannot come now. I said, Rachel still needs me. As I said those words, I all of a sudden was hearing voices, and I could see there was an exhaust over my face, and it was actually the exhaust of the second car that I had been flown under.
Oh, wow.
And then I heard all these voices, and then as that was cleared, I could see the people around looking down on me, and I could see Bill, who was the chap in charge of the car park, and he had tears running down his eyes. And then I could only hear voices. I couldn't see much, but I heard the two men, and they were the ambulance. So I would say approximately, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes was that time span by the time the ambulance arrived. And I can remember one of the ambulance men saying, it's okay. They evidently knew my name. And they said, it's okay, Miranda, it's okay. You're going to be all right. We're going to take you. And they mentioned one of the hospitals, one of the, public hospitals. But the moment he mentioned the public hospital, I said, in my mind at that moment, I thought that was my last day. So I wanted to go to a different hospital. I wanted to be where people pray. So, and only because many years ago, in my first year of marriage, I'd had a terrible experience when I was involved in a different accident, okay?
Oh, and at that particular hospital?
Yes.
That hospital had kind of a bad taste in your mouth.
It did. I just thought, I can't go there.
Yeah, so even though you were, in bad shape, you still had the presence of mind to say, no, I don't want to go to that one hospital where I had a bad experience.
Yes. So I said, can I please go to a Christian hospital? That's what I asked him. And it was quite a silly, a funny thing to ask when you're in that position.
Yeah.
But he came back to me. He said, wait a moment. He came back and he whispered in my ear and he said, Miranda, we're taking you to St. Vincent's. Is that okay? It's quite funny. And I said, okay. Yes. And
he was probably thinking, you just need to get to a hospital. Don't be too particular.
Right. It's quite funny when I think about it now.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, looking back, I know why I had to ask that. After the incident, I can look back now and I can see the hand of God at different places.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of the things that happened was that when I got to this hospital, initially I'd been rushed around and they were doing all sorts of tests. Then I was in I couldn't see anything because I wasn't right. But all of a sudden, I was by myself before my husband arrived and was called, and I felt my wrist being grabbed, and it was the voice of a lady, and she said, sweetheart, we were there when you came in this morning in the waiting room on the emergency, and we are all praying for you out there. We've been praying for you. And I believe now that prayer intervened. That was a prayer that intervened on my behalf.
Yeah.
Because I honestly did feel all my legs go on the right-hand side. And the damage that was to that car after when it was later on revealed, it was massive damage. So anyway, that's where I was there.
Who was the lady? Was she a chaplain or something?
No, I don't know to this day.
Oh, wow.
She was just in the... I didn't see her face because I wasn't... I could only hear voices. But I felt her... she grabbed my wrist and she just said, "Sweetheart," she said, "you know, we've been praying for you. We were when you came in." So that to me today speaks volumes that there was prayer all the way through. I then my husband did arrive. There were tests. I had lots and lots of stitches in my head, but what had happened, and I wasn't aware at the time, was that I'd had major concussion. I'd had concussion a number of times in life, in sport and different things, and other and the other accidents and things. But this was a traumatic brain injury, which caused very severe bruising of the brain. And I didn't understand that at that time, but that's one of the main things that affected me. I also had a lot of ribs broken. And, oh gosh, half my skin was off as well on my back. But I was taken, I was later on, after that night, I was transferred from the St. V's to the Sacred Heart, at the time it was the Sacred Heart Hospital in Moreland, where I spent approximately 2 weeks in hospital initially. And anyway, what happened after that was that I was home then for about, I don't know, another 6 weeks or so in bed. But I wasn't all there. I can't explain it to you. I happened, all of a sudden, I was stuttering. I couldn't speak properly. I was writing backwards. For many months, I just, you know, just affected me in such a way that I was doing everything back to front, just everything. And I had no memory. I didn't know who was who or what was what. So that was, apart from my body healing itself, that was one of the main things that affected me for a long time. I also was deaf too. I lost my deafness, my memory loss. And I then, when I started walking, my right leg had a very noticeable limp. There was a weakness there in my right thigh. And, of course, as I said, my speech was dramatically affected, my concentration. From a very bright businesswoman who could look at a plan of subdivision, look at all the lots and add up all the measurements quickly for a connecting point for a law firm, I couldn't do any of that. I was home for really all up about 3 months because I had my own business, and I
I was
going to
say, what
it.
Happened to your business through all this?
Well, from the day I went into the hospital, one of the other girls who was also running her own business, a lovely lady called Christine, she took over my practice. She ran it all, and she continued to run it. And when I came back to work after about 3 months, I honestly wasn't all there. I may have returned
physically,
but but I was only, let's say, and I didn't want to lose my clients, but I really wasn't there at all, okay? What Christine would do was she would, because my life was shattered. I couldn't, netball was gone. That's basically it. That was gone. But my job, for my job, I would sit there at the title's office. I'd look pretty in case a client, chief solicitor came in. But Christine did all the talking. I did, after 3 months, she would send me around. She would send me to collect plans, to colour in, you know, one of the properties. That I was treated really like a child. My husband would take me to his school in Essendon, and Christine would pick me up, and she would then bring me back at 3:30, and he would take me home, and I would go to bed about 4:30. I don't really remember very much at all for about my children for about 2 years after the accident.
Oh, well, Bob, I was going to say, why was it so important for you just to physically be there? Was it because of your reputation in order to keep your clients?
I was very well known. I was very good at my work, and I had a lot of very good clients.
So they really wanted you to keep those clients, I mean,
I
to the point
to
of just having
clients,
you physically sitting there.
That's right. Wow. So I would sit there, and I'd say, Christine would just do everything. She ran the business. She ran the business for, I would say, completely, nearly 2 years. But for the first year, she was there. I wasn't doing anything at all because when I got home, when my husband had taken me home, I wasn't aware of my surroundings very much. I was constantly, you know, regularly at the doctor's, basically initially, you know, fortnightly, then monthly. I was at the physio for about, I think, 6 years. But what happened as I was getting better, and I didn't realise this, when my husband thought I was much better, he decided that it would be good for me to invite some of my girlfriends over for lunch. And I was very excited that day, but I can still see I set all the table, and all of a sudden everybody looked because I had set things back the front. And when I noticed it, I started crying. I ran downstairs and locked myself up in my room. From that point, I realised that, or the doctor realised that, even though I was getting better, I now could see that I couldn't do the work. You know what I mean? I could see what I was doing that wasn't right. I could see that I was writing backwards. I can remember one day at the titles office, I had to hide where no one could see me because I couldn't add up 2 and 3. I used my fingers to, like, on my hand. So it did affect me.
Well, that's part one of our conversation with Miranda Burness from Ballarat. We invite you to join us again next time for more of her story, including the miraculous way that the Lord heals her and how the Lord uses Miranda to do wonderful things for him. All that's coming up next time on part two of our conversation with Miranda Burness.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.